Washington State's up next. We're going to talk a little bit about X factors, what to expect, and a little more talk on quarterback recruiting. All that and more on today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what is going on, everyone? I am Ryan Herring, Zeros, the Locked On Badgers, here for your team every single day. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really, really do appreciate it. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. And we're going to jump right into it. We got Justin Jolka. Has not been on the show in a minute. It has been a good minute since we've had Justin on, so we're excited to chop it up. Justin, we're going to start here. Week two, Washington State come to Madison. I want to start broad. What do you expect from this game?
If I had to take a guess, I'm going to I honestly think Badgers win by about two touchdowns. But I think it's a game where if we're going to look at it from an analysis standpoint, I feel like Washington State is going to go exactly with what we just saw from Illinois State. A little bit slightly different, though. I'm expecting a lot of short passing game to start this game because – well, we got dinged up down the field a little bit against Illinois State. I don't think that is something you can do long-term against that Badger defense, because if they start getting home, you're going to start having some negative plays quickly. And I expect that to get better as the season goes along. So I'm expecting a lot of wide receiver screens, short, you know, five-yard patterns and stuff like that, slants, for them trying to eat up some easy yardage and try to grind it. Now, we both know that that's not something that's easy to do against Wisconsin. Prolonged drives are something that they tend to be very, very good at. And I don't see Nakia Watson getting 100-plus in this game.
No, I agree there. He had a great quote, by the way. I talked about it yesterday, but he basically said he said, I stood up, I told all my teammates, get ready, because they are big, physical, and tough. Like, he knows, right? He's practiced against these dudes for, you know, he gets it. No, I want to talk about your short passing game stuff a little bit, because I think that's what they're going to do as well. And that's something, looking at Cam Ward, I watched quite a bit of his week one game. Look at some of the scouting reports. He's good at that. Like, Cam Ward can do that to a defense. And I think Jim Leonard is typically okay with, you know, you're not going to be able to do that up and down the field against us. So I do think there's going to be a huge dosage of that. And Badger fans are going to have to be a little okay with giving up that five-yard slant, that four-yard out. Yeah. Because I don't think that's a winning formula for the entire game against Wisconsin.
No, it's not. If we're going to talk a winning formula for Washington State, it's effectively the Adrian Martinez, you know, way of playing. Tight ends sneaking out on, you know, delayed patterns and stuff like that. Deeper patterns that take a little bit of time to develop, and a quarterback that moves around until those open up.
Yeah, mobile quarterback. And certainly Cam Ward is that.
Now, I question whether the offensive line for Washington State can hold up to that. Like, he may be running for his life in this game. They have not had good reports about the offensive line play coming into the season. So that's not something you want to hear against Wisconsin. And we played largely vanilla in the first week. So there's going to be a lot more blitzing in this game than what we saw the first week. We're going to see guys coming. Here's the thing with Wisconsin defenses that I think people don't tend to realize. They only get chewed up by typically elite quarterback play because I feel like Leonard is just above the average quarterback mind. And what I mean by that is he confuses just about everybody except the guys that have the elite physical talent that can kind of buy time until things start to, like, the disguising kind of wears off. And it's like, Okay, I have that guy open. Fields did it to us. Yes. You know, he's ran for his life, and he would sit there and he'd wait, and then he'd finally figure out, okay, that guy's there, and make the play. He turned it into more of a backyard football game.
And Fields is a first-round NFL quarterback. Yes. You know, so.
And that's exactly it. Wisconsin has been chewed up by guys who are NFL quarterbacks.
Who chew everybody up.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Nope, I agree with that. Now, we don't know. Okay, be perfectly honest with that. We don't know with Cam Ward, because he did it at an FCS level. We haven't seen enough of him. But there is legitimate NFL buzz with him.
He's got some measurables.
And Brock Huard called him, I don't know if you saw this, a mini type of Vince Young type player. So this is a really good test in terms of the secondary, because they're going to spread us out. And if to your point, if we're going to bring a little more pressure, if we're going to bring extra rushers, those cornerbacks are going to be on an island.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a given.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about it next thing, but I want to jump into it now. What do you expect in the secondary? Especially, I don't think Alexander Smith is playing, reading all the tea leaves. So there's going to be four cornerbacks on the field guarding this team because this team goes 4 or 5 out.
I don't know what to take from that because it sounded like they thought he might be ready this week. And I was curious if he was legitimately ready last week and they just were like, this isn't the opponent that's worth getting you out there.
So I would say this really quick on Smith. Sure. Just hearing from what Paul Christ and Jim Leonard said, they seem to indicate that to me, and I could be parsing this wrong, it seemed that they thought Clark was ahead of Smith. But I don't know. I would be surprised if Smith plays this week, to be honest.
And that could be too. I think I'd be shocked if he doesn't play against New Mexico State next week, he's not playing against Ohio State.
Agreed. Yeah, so I agree.
We'll find that out real quick. I think Clark will be back for sure, which I definitely think helps. I think that puts Dort on the outside most likely, because they'll probably slide him over and put Clark into the slot. Listen, if you want to play five line, it's going to simplify what Wisconsin's doing on defense a little bit, but it's also going to give you very little help if somebody gets by their man. There's not a lot of blocking to help there. So if you're going to go four wide, you're taking a risk there. If you don't see something that happens in the first 2 seconds, you're going to have to either throw it away or better hope that you have that somebody's given up contain because you're going to be in trouble.
Well, this is definitely a Herbig game. This is definitely he's going to, by the way, that Washington State offensive line replaced 3 starters off last year's unit. Wasn't particularly good against Idaho. You know, this is going to be a game where the pass rush has to get home because those corners are going to be on island, and Washington State has some weapons, and Cam Ward's a tough player to deal with. So, you know, it's probably not a big game for Keanu Benton, even though he's improved his pass rushing, you know, since he got here. There's going to be a lot of quick throws in this game.
There will be. It would not shock me. They're going to have some deeper patterns. It's going to have to be part of this game if they want to be able to actually – they're going to have to be explosive if they want to beat us. Because so Wisconsin will wear them down defensively to the point where they will make you make mistakes.
Right, I agree with that. And they're going to hit Cam Ward. Like, they are definitely going to hit him. Watching this game against Idaho, he doesn't slide a ton. He runs around the pocket a lot. I was talking about it in my first show, but to me, it feels like he has FCS habits, where he's used to being the most athletic dude on the field, right? And he holds the ball a little too long. He takes some unnecessary hits. If you take that unnecessary hit against Darryl Peterson...
Like, he's a fire hydrant, man. I saw the first game and I was like, that's Peterson. I don't remember him being that wide.
Holy that dude smoke. Could pick me up and shove me in a locker easily. Like he's enormous human being. Right. So I think Ward's going to get beaten up a little bit. I think that's going to push him into some mistakes, but I want to finish here because we're talking secondary. I did think coming out of week 1, the cornerback play was one of my biggest concerns. And I'm not sure. I didn't get a chance to talk to you after that game about that. I'm curious where you are after seeing Jay Shaw in action, Dort in action, et cetera.
I think it kind of plays to the things that we talked about, right? For the first 3 games, we were expecting them to have some growing pains with communication and everything. It's their first game in our system. The big thing for the secondary for me was I want these guys to be ready by Ohio State. So let's get the stuff out. I don't think that there's a team that they play that is capable of consistently working them enough to make it a problem. I think we'll be... Listen, is it possible they throw for 300 yards against us? Yeah. If they do, it's probably going to be a lot of dead yardage, meaning it's not going to be scoring. It's going to be between the 20s where they eat up some yardage. We make, you know, we stop them and kind of bend but don't break, which is possible. There's also
a lot of that.
There's also the chance that they play lockdown this week and we just tee off on Ward. And neither would shock me because there's the offensive line is not going to be – they're not an offense that's going to sit there and run the football. And if they try to, they're going to get just annihilated because I don't think they have the offensive line to grind it against Wisconsin. And I think we actually have a very good run defense still. Benton is just a beast. Somebody's going to take him in the first 3 rounds, probably if they have run a 3-4 in the NFL and say, cool, I can put this guy in the middle. He not only can hold up against the run, but he's a guy that can actually make some plays in the pass game from time to time.
Yeah, and they're going to be very happy with that pick. That dude's going to be an 8-year pro if he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. All right, let's wrap up there. Coming up on Lockdown Badgers, we're going to talk about the line for the game. Justin already gave a score prediction, some X factors, and also get into quarterback recruiting. All that and more on Lockdown Badgers coming up. First, today's show is brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your pro and college football betting needs, sports information this season. Find all the latest football league developments, matchups, news, podcasts. Again, it's not just a betting site. There's news there, newsletters, podcasts for every single sport, right? Football, basketball, baseball, esports, combat sports, racing. It's all there, plus live Vegas games, blackjack, roulette. Everything is on BetOnline. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your sports news and information. Head to the website today. There's futures betting, live in-game betting. So it really has you covered no matter what your flavor is. If you want to take a read on, you know, the NFL's about to get Goff. If you think you know who's winning the North, the West, the South, who's going to win the AFC, NFC, et cetera, it is all there on BetOnline. Do it responsibly, but take a little bit of money. Have fun with it. Super enjoyable. And the website is incredibly easy to use. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and actions. BetOnline, where the game starts. I want to thank everyone again for tuning into Locked On Badgers. I'm here for your team every single day. Just really appreciative of all the support, all the great guests, including people like Justin that were able to get on the show. Let's keep going. So, Justin, I want to kick this segment off with this. You gave a rough score prediction. You said about two touchdowns. The line is 17.5. Wisconsin's a 17.5 favorite. They did cover in week one, just barely. You think Washington State's going to cover in this game?
It's going to be close. With the secondary, the way we discussed, it would not shock me to see a blown coverage or something that blows up where they end up getting a cheap one. I don't think consistently if they're going to have to run drives, I don't see them getting more than 10 points off of that. So they're going to need a big play somewhere in there in order to get some extra points on the board. I think Wisconsin will get into the 30s in this game. I just don't see that defense holding up long-term in this game. And if Mertz plays like he plays in week one, I think they'll comfortably get into the 30s because I do not see Washington State holding in the ball for an entire quarter. So this game will be a little bit different. I don't see us having a ton of trouble with their defense, even though I do think that they're solid. I just don't think that they're built for a game against this type of offense.
What kind of game are you looking for Mertz? Because coming off week one, I think we can all agree on the dope or nope like rating. Sure. Like that was pretty dope. What are we expecting from Mertz in this in week two? Do you expect more of a balanced attack again?
If I'm going to say what I would think Bobby would like to see out of him, I think we're looking at something like 17 of 24 for 215, couple of touchdowns. I think that that's kind of what you're looking for, that it would be a perfect game for him. He's obviously not going to be quite as efficient. This is a step up in talent that he's playing against, but that's the type of game that you want to see from a quarterback in a game where I think you have the talent advantage and he should be able to pick his spots with the passing game and kind of find the guys who are, you know, easy to find.
So I want to go here now. Pick out a couple storylines from week one going into week two that we find most interesting to follow. My first, I'm going to give you a second to get yours. My first one, I want to kick over to you, see what you think about this. I thought it was super interesting that Miles Burkett was the number two guy, clearly the number two guy. What do you take from that? Is that more, in your opinion, a reflection of Miles Burkett really coming to campus more ready than we thought? Or is that more of an indication that Deacon Hill hasn't progressed quite as much as we had hoped?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think that Deacon Hill doesn't have a ton of experience either. Like he hasn't played an absolute ton of football with Wisconsin. He didn't have a spring because his high school season got shifted. So the way I kind of look at it is he's a much rawer prospect in terms of what your expectations are. Like with guys that have big arms like that, it's kind of like getting for the MLB equivalent of it, you look at the projectable 6'7" starting pitcher who's a flamethrower.
Yep.
And you want that guy to work on repeating his delivery and stuff like that.
Rick Vaughn. Whereas
Burkett's the 6-foot guy who's basically a high effort delivery that you're looking at that is he doesn't have the upside, but you're like, he's probably gonna be much easier for him to hit his potential.
Right, right. So yeah, it's interesting. We talked about it early in the year when, and again, I'm not trying to pile on anybody, but when Deacon Hill showed up and he was 260 pounds in the middle of a quarterback room that wasn't very deep, to me, that was a bit of a red flag. And So it doesn't surprise me, really. To me, it's almost, I agree with you, it's a balance of both, right? Obviously, Burkett came in, super mature kid. He's always been lauded for his intangibles, winning guy. But I think you have to be a little, as a Badger fan, disappointed with Deacon Hill not being able to seize that job because he has the physical tools of a next-level quarterback.
I don't want to put words in that or, like, assume anything. But it feels to me like there's a little bit of coming in and knowing that you have more physical tools than the guy potentially ahead of you.
Possibly.
And so you kind of think that that will continue to work at the college level. When the reality is that if you want to be effective at the college level, you need to refine everything. Mm-hmm. You need to buy in completely. It's littered with, college football is littered with guys with big arms that never turn into anything. Mm-hmm. So you have to do everything possible to maximize your potential for success.
And again, we don't know, yeah. You know, yeah, and you said it. We're not trying to disparage anybody or pile on to anybody, but the facts are the facts. Yeah. The younger quarterback is the number two guy on the depth chart. And it bears watching, and it also doesn't mean that the book is written on either of these guys. But if you're reading tea
leaves, this potentially could be his wake-up call. I mean, some guys have it where he could just completely buy in now and just realize, hey, I need to slim down. I need to really take the playbook seriously. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that he's not doing these things. I'm just saying that it's possible that this will be a wake-up call where he's like, I need to double down. I want that position. And this is what I need to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair, there was a comment. I believe it was on the podcast with Temple and Jesse Temple and Zach Halperin. And they mentioned something about the fact that the Badger coaching staff had discussed, you know, Deacon Hill needing a little bit more urgency at times, you know, so that's out there like that. Oh, yeah. That is, I mean, for parsing. And again, he's very young. A lot of us were that age and needed to continue growing and getting better. Mm-hmm. This is not writing the book on anybody, but I would say the history of younger players jumping over even slightly older players and then regressing back behind that, typically the younger players jump up and they kind of stay there. That's kind of how
it's blood in the water, and they double down and they're like, all right, I'm seeing success. What more can I do to move even further?
But I also think Badger fans should be really excited about Burkett, right? Obviously coming up to campus. Yeah. I'm not going to give away anything behind a paywall because Jesse Temple does incredible work. But if you have not,
I'd have felt a lot better if we wouldn't have got him killed.
Sure. Blitz pickup was a little rough. I would say this for everyone listening. If you are subscribed to The Athletic, Jesse Temple does incredible work. He has a great article you have to read about Miles Burkett and his maturity and how he's approached this position. Again, I don't want to say anything because that's behind a paywall and that's his work, but it's worth checking out. And it speaks to the intangibles and the winning attitude that we've all seen from Burkett and heard about, quite frankly. All right. I want to finish up here. Is there any other storyline? So that was kind of one that I found super interesting. I'm excited to keep checking out. Any other storyline going from week one into week two that you're really interested, that surprised you, that you're tracking?
I am tracking the offensive line. I want to see a dominant offensive line performance. I think that now that they got their feet wet, we always talk about the biggest growth that happens for a football team is week one to week two. Because you get your feet wet and you realize, okay, this is how much more I need to do. This is where I need to tighten things up. This is where I need to go. Have they released anything on Malman? Is he supposed to be out for this game, or is he?
Yeah, he's listed on the depth chart as a starter, but you know, Alexander Smith was listed week one as well, so we don't know.
So my guess would be at best it's going to be a split. Probably looking at him getting maybe a quarter of the reps, if any at all. Mm-hmm. Because there's no reason to push here unless we're really struggling with Brown out at right tackle.
And I thought Brown, his reps I thought looked fine. Again, I mean, it was Illinois State, it is what it is, but you can only play against a guy across from you. And I thought he looked fine up there.
And he's been going against Nick Herbig. there's not many guys. That guy's going to hurt everyone. Like Nelson, I'm sure, had his share of reps. I remember the Twitter comments going back and forth between those two guys about who was winning that stuff.
There is definitely depth there.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I thought the offensive line, I don't think it was bad week one, but I don't think it was great.
Yeah. What we want to see in this game is we want to see the Badgers run for 250 yards, and we want to see consistent. It doesn't have to be a 96-yard touchdown run. We want to see those 10 to 20-yard runs pop open mm-hmm. more, where guys, it's like, wow, you could drive a truck through that hole kind of stuff.
Yeah, I thought some of that was missing week one. I will say this on the good note. Again, we've talked about it a bunch. New coach, obviously Bob Bostead, mm-hmm. people in new positions. Both the tackles are in new spots. Furtney's first year starting. Beach moved inside. Exactly. Only one penalty on the offensive line. Which
and that was something we definitely really wanted to see tightened up, because the last mm-hmm. several years, we've had a lot of penalties that were, you know, false starts,
yep,
you know, situations. And it's really hurt them in games. And that's an area where we typically didn't have those type of penalties. We would have the occasional hold, but false start penalties were almost a never with Wisconsin.
Yeah, so it was nice to see that. All right, coming up, I want to get your take. Again, something I haven't had a chance to talk to you recently on, quarterback recruiting has taken some interesting turns here. Some new names on the list. I want to get your feel on the guys that have visited in week one that are going to visit in week two, if we should take two quarterbacks this cycle. I really want to see where you're at on quarterback recruiting. That's coming up next on Locked On Badgers. All right, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Badgers, continuing to make this one of your first listens every day. If you like the show, please subscribe. Again, we're trying to catch Iowa. We're trying to catch Michigan State. There's no reason those bonkers fan bases should be ahead of us anyway, and we're getting there. So continue supporting the show if you can. I really do appreciate it. Justin, let's talk quarterback recruiting. So week one, Ryan Braun was on campus. Plotmeyer, the in-state walk-on, in-state potential walk-on type player was on campus. Week two, we got Cole LeCrew coming in from Colorado, 6'2", from Bloomfield, Colorado, a little more of a playmaker type. And Chase Spellman is coming into campus as well. So I want your take. We're just going to talk 23 kids, because there's a 24 quarterback coming in and a 25 quarterback coming into those classes. But from the 23 class, those four players that have visited, where are you at? Who do you like? Should we take more than one?
Well, I say take more than one, but I think they're thin. I'd like to see the Badgers hold five scholarship quarterbacks. I'm willing to give up a slot at another position for that to happen, because Wisconsin has not hit on anybody that is what we would consider to be a good to very good Big Ten quarterback. Now, Mertz could be that this season if what we saw in game one continues, but we don't know that yet. And until we have it for sure, we want to make sure that there's as many opportunities. It's like lottery tickets, right? Would you rather have two lottery tickets or one?
You'd rather have
an additional one.
So you're saying, just to paraphrase what you're saying you would take two just because you want more swings. You want more hacks at the bat, right? And if that means you don't have an extra linebacker, because that's always the question that comes up. Well, if you take an extra quarterback, that means you're not taking a linebacker or a running back or whoever. You're losing a scholarship somewhere.
Well, which would you rather have, a fifth-string quarterback or a fourth-string offensive lineman?
Oh, I'm going quarterback. I'm right there with you. I think you load up the quarterback room and who
the players that don't progress, I don't think – I will be honest. I don't think – like, you have to feel good about the guys you're taking. Mm-hmm. You can't just reach to take bodies. But if you have two guys you like, and I think that there's a significant difference between the play styles of Brown and LeCrew, I would gladly take those, because I think they offer some very different things in the way that they play mm-hmm. the game. I think that you'd say Brown is a little bit more refined and LeCrew is a little bit more of that gritty win at all costs kind of, if I have to, you know, throw this play that's ill-advised in order to get the win, I'm going to do it. So it's like you just have a gunslinger versus a guy who's a little bit more under control. And I kind of like having a little bit of that, because you hope that a little bit of each of it rubs off on both guys, right? You want to have one guy that can kind of grow a little bit and learn how to freelance a little bit, because I think for the Badgers to be the best that they can be, you're going to have a quarterback that can do that. Mm-hmm. You need a guy who can go out there and when there's nothing there, can make something happen. And Wisconsin hasn't had that since Wilson. Because if we're playing Ohio State and you're down a field goal with 2 minutes left, I can guarantee you there's going to be at least one to two plays on that 2 minute drive where he has to come up with something that's just not there.
We did see Jack Cohn scramble for a touchdown against Ohio State.
We did.
No, I hear you though. You want that quarterback to go off script a little bit. And that's probably more, to your point, that's probably more Cole. Out of the two we're talking about, Ryan Brown was on the show. He's got a little more size, pretty mobile as well. You know, I like both of them.
They're both good athletes, yeah.
They're both good athletes. And I made the point, be completely honest on this. I'm very curious what your thoughts are. There was a point probably a month ago where I thought, you know, we may get into a reach category. I don't think either of these guys are reaches on the quarterback board.
Here's the way I look at quarterbacks. I feel like there's become this, we need to find the guy who's super refined mentally. And what I've learned from that is the bulk of these guys that come in, that part of it really doesn't matter. Like if they can sit there and watch film and call something out, I think every guy can do that eventually. What you need is a guy that can figure out how to do it quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's very difficult to find. And I don't think you can really truly learn that. I think we can see it a little bit more from the crew in the film that we watch, but that's because his team's not very good. Mm-hmm. And that's no offense to his team, but if you look at the situation that's on there, there's a lot of time he's breaking the pocket and running around and trying to make things happen. And a lot of the times where he's just got to make a decision, that's a split second decision to try and make a play happen versus Brown, which is a little bit more.
Florida team was incredible. They won the state title.
And that with that, you don't necessarily get to see the quick reaction. Mm-hmm. And that's what most of these guys that we watch film on, like we see high school players, a lot of them are throwing to guys who are open by 2 or 3 yards. A lot of them are guys who have a pretty good offensive line, so they have time to sit back there and to dissect things. And yeah, every quarterback's good. That's effectively almost like running into 7-on-7 after a play. Mm-hmm. If you have a guy someone in his face and can make a play happen, that's where it's impressive. That's what made Brett Favre so great when he was in the mm-hmm. NFL. Like the guy was constantly like rolling out and doing stuff where it's like the defense gets taxed because they're doing what they're supposed to. And the quarterback's not doing what you're expecting him to do. So they're completely throwing you in a bind. Mm-hmm. So I'm one of those where I think it's very difficult to really truly figure out if a quarterback's going to succeed.
I think it's very fair.
The physical tools though, I think is something that you have to look for. Like you need to find that guy who has an arm that has some accuracy and that has some mobility. And that's something that Wisconsin hasn't placed a great emphasis on in the past, where I think they really need to do a better job.
They need to find those guys going forward, right?
Like, yeah, it seems like it. I think Bobby is much bigger on.
Because Keenholz was a big-time athlete, right? Mm-hmm. Both of these guys, Ryan Brown and LaCroix, can run. Jerry Kaminsky, the in-state kid, can move around. Mm-hmm. They brought him in League One. I forgot to mention him. All these guys can move, which I really like that direction we're going in.
Yeah. You don't have to have a guy that's considered necessarily a dual threat, but he needs to be able to break, contain,
yeah,
and make a defense freak out a little bit when he gets out there. Because, and you talked about it when you were breaking down the film with Brown, he broke and he's like, oh, yeah, he could have ran for 10 to 15 on that play, but I ended up seeing the play. Well, that's the benefit of that. If you mm-hmm. break the containment, now you suddenly have linebackers, if they're in zone or whatever, that are like, I have to come up. Mm-hmm. Because this guy is going to run for 15 yards. And if they take 2 steps up, now suddenly you have a spot where you can drop a pass in, and that's a 25-yard game.
Yeah, it puts him in a bad spot for sure. Mm-hmm. By the way, he was a really impressive kid to talk to. Mm-hmm. Really, really sharp. But even coming into that, before that, like I said, I think the Badgers are on a good spot here with either one of them. I do want to get your final take on this. If you had to guess right now, Who do the Badgers offer out of this group, out of these 4 quarterbacks they've had, or nobody? Yeah, where does
I think they will offer. My gut tells me it will be probably both Brown and LaCroix.
Okay.
I don't know who they go with first. It'll be really interesting. If we come away from this weekend and LaCroix ends up getting an offer, he may dive on that. He also, you know, based off of some of his interviews, kind of seems like a guy who wants to see, like, earn the fruits of his labor, so to speak, and see if some of those other offers come into him.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm interested, man. Justin, thank you so much for jumping on again. Stop ghosting me. We would have had you on sooner.
The 15-minute window you gave me to respond?
Yes, that window. For everyone listening, thank you so, so much. I hope you all enjoy the game. As always, we're going to do a live reaction show after the game. It's going to be live stream. Jump on. Enjoy it. Let's have some therapy. What went right? What went wrong? We're going to chop it all up right after the game on Saturday. And hope everyone has a great game day.
This one will actually get me on.
Well, listen, you could have gotten to the last one. So it's hopefully it's a good game, but regardless, good or bad, we are going to be there. And with that, make sure after this, you go check out Locked On Big Ten. Nate Dickinson takes you around the Big Ten Conference, all the rivals that we kind of like, all the ones we don't like, and all the ones we hate. There's nobody around there that we love in the Big Ten. So he'll take you around the conference, what's going on. With that, on Wisconsin, and let's get a dub.